And we will remember that. We press on. Our theme for this year is revival in our church mission statement. For those of you who may not be well-oriented, I'd like to read it before you. And it is to glorify God by evangelizing the lost, by edifying the believers to be more like Christ, and by equipping the members for Christian service, and by exalting our Lord Jesus Christ in all function and activities in our church. Now, in order to improve in all of those four E's, it is necessary that we improve also in our financial support. They are closely related. Mobility of the local church programs requires monetary support. And this morning, our topic is about giving. Our text, please turn to our text, Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. It presents to us a good example in giving. It is very interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ used a poor widow. And she was able to meet God's standard, which is our ultimate goal. It is my prayer that you will encourage and that your financial giving to the Lord will continue to grow. And if, in any case, it needs revival. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, for allowing us to come to you, opening to you our minds and our hearts, to receive your word. We know that your word is powerful, that you want us to be transformed, not only to be learned from your word, but to be changed. Changing into the likeness of your Son. And Lord, this morning I ask that you will help your servant to be able to present your word in such a way that first and foremost, you will be pleased and glorified, and at the same time, our prayer is that we will be built up. Lord, we thank you for each and every aspects that we will be learning this morning. And help us to be obedient to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. The Lord Jesus Christ cares about our giving. It matters to Him and it matters in the life of our church. Now, in the temple, there is a section called the Court of Women where the treasury was located. And take a look at verse 41, verse A. It says that Jesus Christ deliberately sat down on a bench where he could watch the people bring their offerings. You see, the freewill offerings and their giving is dropped in one of the 13 trumpet-shaped collection boxes. And the money would be used to sustain the temple's needs, the priest, and for the worship services. And Jesus is trying to teach to his followers that giving is an integral part of worship. Actually, giving is an act of worship. Generally speaking, Your understanding and conviction about giving will show in the way you give. It is a declaration of your gratitude to God and your obedience to God. It is actually your personal doctrinal statement about financial giving. And there are many biblical principles that we could find in the Word of God. For instance, in your giving, whatever amount you give, you are saying to the Lord, Lord, you deserve my best, and here it is. Number two, Lord, you deserve my regular giving because you are a faithful God who provides for my needs, for my daily needs. And number three, Lord, you deserve at least the proportionate giving as it is written in your very own word, one of which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or verse 2 of chapter 16 rather. And then another one, you're saying that, Lord, you deserve to be glorified and praised through my giving. And that is exactly the whole point. May I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 to 12. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 to 12. This passage of Scripture has more to say in regards to giving. And we could find at least two more reasons or two more important principles why the Lord Jesus Christ takes seriously of our giving. On verse 9, it says that God is the one who supplies the seed. You see, giving is an evidence of God's faithfulness and provision to us. Now, on verse 10, God supplies and increases our resources so that we could bless others and we can participate in the advancement and expansion of the kingdom agenda. Our text tells us that Jesus tries to introduce the right approach in financial giving or in the stewardship of money. Let me ask you where you are at this juncture. How would you describe your giving? You alone will answer to this one, and you alone know. It is between you and the Lord. Is your giving below God's standard? Is your giving according to the law? Now, is your giving according to the law of grace? When we speak about the law of grace, then your giving would be your giving with liberality, your giving sacrificially, your giving generously, and you're giving cheerfully. Those are the law of grace. Now, do you have a struggle in the area of giving? That could be another important question to you. I came across with this illustration, and let me read it before you. A man on his deathbed called his preacher, his doctor, and his lawyer to visit him. He says, I have $30,000 in the bank. I want to take it all with me when I die. So I'm giving each and every one of you $10,000. At my funeral, I want each of you to come and put the envelope in my coffin. So the man died, and each man did what he's supposed to do. Later in the week, the same three guys had a meeting. The preacher says, I'm sure that our brother Smith would have wanted to help out our church. We need of a new organ or the piano. So I took $2,000 and put $8,000 in the coffin. Now the doctor says, well, the late brother complimented me on the care I provided for him, and there's a new clinic that is going to be put up. So I took $5,000 and put $5,000 in the coffin. Then the lawyer said, I did better than both of you. I took the $8,000 of the preacher. I took the $5,000 of the doctor. And I also kept all of the $10,000 that was given to me. But to be fair, I left a check of $30,000 in the coffin. You know, there are many reasons why some have problems in stewardship. Some believers do not give properly because they have never understood what it is. They were never taught about giving. And that's why discipleship in this area is important. Some preachers and teachers do not want to preach about giving because whenever you present it, there's a lot of people who would react negatively when the mention of money is shared. But you see, if you are a leader, if you are a father, if you are a preacher, it is a bad stewardship for you if you're not going to teach about financial giving. And Jesus Christ has more to say about money than any subject in the gospel. That's why it is important that this topic, that it is taught at home, in the cell group, and in the church. You know, some believers do not want to give because they have resentment. Sometimes the reason is rebellion to church programs or some personnel in the church. Some people do not give because they have own personal agendas. Remember that our accountability is not to anyone but the Lord. Some people do not give because they do not understand the importance of giving, or at least they say they don't. But oftentimes they do. They do understand, it's just that they don't want to give. And that is the sad news for most Christians, or a lot of Christians, not most. You know, when you go to a doctor and you go through the annual checkup, the doctor would often would poke you and press, especially in the middle section, and he will say, does it hurt? How about here? You know, you would cry in pain. One of two things would happen if you would cry in pain. Number one, your doctor pressed too hard. And at the same time, you would cry in pain because there is really something wrong with you. Now, when the pastor and the leaders preach about giving, and certain members cry for discomfort, it is either the preacher pressed it too hard, or there is really something wrong with you. In that case, you do not need the local doctor. Who you need is the great physician. Then he would tell you, there is something that hurt there. And that is about your stewardship in giving. You see, in our text, the Lord Jesus Christ watches the giving. It was deliberate. He went in a special place just to watch and see what people were doing. He had taken his time to watch. It was also carefully done. He noted the rich, the poor, the generous, and the otherwise. No individual seemed to have escaped from the Lord's attention. Now you may be saying that whenever we pass the offering plate, no one can see you. No one can see you. The Lord is watching you. And not only that, the Lord cares about our giving. Please take a look at verses 40, 41 and 42. The last part of 41. It says, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. That is in the King James Version. In the NIV, it says, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. I don't know if you have heard this high-tech stewardship. An announcement was made, there is a new offering box in the church. It is designed to encourage the church membership to become better and responsible stewards of their money. And the box has special features. When you drop a check or big amount of money, there is no sound. Quiet. When you drop a toonie, it rings like a bell. Now, when you put in a loonie, it blows a whistle. When you drop in a quarter, it fires a shot. When you don't put anything, it takes your picture. We are so glad that you cannot find this machine in any churches today. It's hard to imagine. But the truth remains that God is watching how much we give. And Jesus Christ observed the people's giving. He saw the rich people come along on verse 41, and some of them put in large amounts of money. As they did, he did not say a word. He just kept on watching. And then came along the poor widow and drops in two smallest coins possible. She came with a free will offering. That's the smallest amount of offering that there was at that point in time. And commentary says that the amount, the equivalent amount of these two coins is about 5 minutes labor of a minimum wage. Although what she was not able to give a great amount of money, but she gave all that she had. And Jesus Christ says she has given more than all of the rest. You know, there's no evidence that the woman ever knew that Jesus thought of her about her giving. The Lord Jesus Christ, in our text, he didn't say that they talk about it. There is no evidence in the narrative that from then onward she became richer or wealthy. But it is safe to say that the poor widow will be surprised one day when she stood before the Lord and would hear the Lord say, I saw what you did and it thrilled my heart. And I decided also to put your story in the pages of the Bible. There's a similar story in the New Testament, and may I invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 to 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 5. Now I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done for the churches in Macedonia. Though they have been going through much trouble and hard times, their wonderful joy and deep poverty have overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They beg us again and again for the gracious privilege of sharing in the gift for the Christians in Jerusalem. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes, for their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord. You know, it is true that the Lord watches our thoughts, our actions, and even what we give. But the Lord is more interested in you more than the money that you give. A Bible scholar puts it this way, Warren Wiersbe. He says, when it comes to our giving, God sees more than the portion, but He also sees the proportion. And then he says, man see what is given, but God sees what is left. And by that, the Lord measures the gift and the condition of our hearts. And finally, He cares about how we give. That is true. Our motivation. Please take a look at verses 43 and 44. Verse 43 and 44. So He called His disciples to Himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. The text tells us that she is not only a widow, but she was also poor. She was described as a pauper rather than a poor peasant. And it's a very bad combination because at that point in time, widows would be without financial support from the government. There is no widower allowance. Widows were often oppressed and helpless because they don't get legal aid. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when He raised the only son of a widow in Luke chapter 7? He was restoring the widow's only protector and the widow's only source of income. Now, in Jesus' eyes, the poor widow had put more compared to the others. It may be the smallest in monetary value, but it has the greatest sacrifice of all. On verse 44, it says, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Wow. She could have kept one of the coins. And after all, if you put 50% of your income, it's still a great giving. But she willingly gave both of them. She gave everything. And by this, she's declaring that I have full trust in God. That God would take care of me. And Jesus Christ wants His disciples, that includes you and me, to take heed the lesson of the total surrender of self, total commitment to God, and the willingness to rely on the Lord's provision. In addition, financial giving has more to do with how much you keep and how much it costs you than how much you give. You know, King David in the Old Testament, he says that I will not offer to the Lord unless it costs me something. And moreover, there are many other passages in the Scripture. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Can you take a look at that, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. At the end of this passage, it teaches that giving is what? It is a joyous occasion. Sadly, many followers of the Lord Jesus Christ do not enjoy or rejoice in this area. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, do not lay up yourself treasures on earth, but where Lay up your treasures in heaven. There is every reason for us as an individual and as a church to have revival in our monetary giving. Let me give you examples. Two examples that I'd like to present to you. And this is quite closely related to us. And I'm thankful to the choir that when they sing, continue to press on. Number one, it is no secret to you that our church building needs repairs from the back all the way to the front. And it would require a lot of money. I don't know how much. It could go as much as $100,000. So the question is, are we in this together? Parang wala yatang sumasagot. But we are in this together. Whether we would like to accept it or not, we are in this together. It is a reality for us as a church. The building requires repairs. And most importantly, we also need to build the church. Well, let me rephrase. You may be saying it is the Lord who built the church. That is true. But let me tell you what I'm trying to say here. Now, for those of you who may not be aware, our church will be celebrating 40th anniversary next year. In May of 2017, we are going to be 40 years old. That is an equivalent of one generation gone by. And by God's grace and His sovereign will, when the Lord started FFBC, only 4 young people when it started. And the church blossomed wonderfully, in my estimation, and I'm sure you would agree with me. And this year is a very exciting year in the life of First Filipino Baptist Church. Let me tell you why. There are 3 church planting that is happening this year. One is direct coming from us, which is in Scarborough. That's one. Number 2, Grace Bible International Church also launched a church plant somewhere in Agent Court area, on top of 401, west of Young Street, all the way to Morningside and beyond that. That's number 2. And number 3, you and I are very well oriented to North Victory Baptist Church, right? And then by God's grace, they also started another church plant not too long ago, about 2 years ago, in Vaughan. But it did not stop there. For your information, starting this month, there is a great granddaughter church of us in Guelph. So all 3, all running all at the same time as I speak to you. And that is the greatest blessing that any church could possibly have. And many Baptist churches in Ontario were amazed at what the Lord is doing in our midst. And to this, we could only humbly thank God for the blessing. It is His doing. But your participation and my participation matters. Let me go forward. That's what happened from zero to today. Let's press for the future. And if the 40 years was critical, the coming another 40 years is critical at First Filipino Baptist Church. You see, majority of the brethren who have been part of the first 40 years will have or may not be able to participate the next 40 years. At least for 2 reasons. You will be too old or you will be moving on. If you are 60 years old right now, if the Lord bless you for another 20 years, you won't reach the next 40. If you are my age, it's the same thing. So I say to this, that even if you and I will be around those that are 40 years old and above. The reality is that 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now, your income will be lower down dramatically because you are going to be a senior citizen, and if you're just getting a smaller amount of money or source of income. And that is the reality. So by way of elimination, those of you who are under the age of 40 will be the major contributor in all aspects of the life of FFBC, beginning from your pocketbooks. And that is the reality in our church. So I encourage everyone to take seriously the importance of conviction and commitment in financial giving. Because in the next 40 years, or at the end of the next 40 years, it's either we continue or we stop. And that is the case. And I'm sure you would agree with me that we prefer the former, that we want to continue. But if we want to continue, we have to start making a difference, not tomorrow, but today. It is a divine appointment that we are here today. And God has a wonderful plan for you and for me as an individual and as a church. If the first 40 years if the first 40 years, by the grace of God, was great, there is no reason for us to believe that the next 40 years could be greater. Do I hear a resounding amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Let me leave with you two verses in the Bible. I think it would require promises in the Bible is when we go forward for the next 40. Remember Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 6. And the context of this is that we can never outgive God. And if you and I are willing, the Lord is willing to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out His blessings to those who obey. Revival and obedience bring forth great rewards. Are you in?
Amen.
Are we ready?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you have shared to us today. That even though a couple of pennies will do great things in the kingdom agenda, if it was given sacrificially. How blessed are we that we have greater amount of money compared to that poor widow. Our prayer is that you will help us as a church and as individual to be obedient to you, to be committed to you in the area of financial giving. We know, Father, that greater things is ahead of us. There is more to do for the kingdom of the Lord. And there are greater privileges and opportunities that can come our way. Our prayer is that you will help us to obey. That we will be willing not only to understand that we need to press on, but as we press on, it would require monetary support. So we pray that you will continue to increase our financial giving in the church. That you would, through it, you would supply not only the needs in the four corners of our church building, but for the building up of your church. And that is us. I thank you for reminding us that it is never too late. That the next 40 years in our church is just about to begin. And as it begins, May we start right. This is our earnest prayer in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.